Welcome to Take the Red Pill,
where we explore the realities within our reality.
We are your hosts, David
and Donald.
So this episode, we're going to be talking about divination and the tools and the methods and all sorts of stuff that go with divining. So, to the divine, Donald. what's been your experience with divination and what's your take on it?
Well, I've done tarot readings. I've done numerology readings. I have found that with any kind of divination reading, it is a relationship between the person who is asking and the person who is reading. And the person that is asking needs to keep in mind that this is just what one person is able to see at this point in time. And it's actually been kind of interesting because I heard a radio show where one of my friends was a guest on a alternative radio show with his partner, and they were doing tandem tarot readings. And so a caller would call in, my friend would start off, or his friend would start off, and then they'd switch to the other person. And it was really interesting because, you know, same person, same question, but from two different readers, you know, slightly different view of what was the answer to the question. Mm-hmm. So from all of my experience, from all I've witnessed, I would have to say that divination is a good tool, good advising tool. But at the same time, I wouldn't take it so seriously. You know, if you're doing a tarot reading, if the cards say this, then that's just the way it is, and there's no way to change it, and that's just the way it is. I wouldn't go that far.
Okay.
So I would say somewhere in between there. How about you?
Well, actually, just to kind of to tack on to the end of what you're saying, so you prescribe more to the idea of an open reading. I'm just using these terms.
Okay.
I'm gonna create the terms. Maybe they're used somewhere else. Maybe I'm not the big guy here. The open and closed, I'll call it. So with a closed reading saying, this is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
This is set in stone, and you can expect that this will happen at some point. And an open reading being, this can happen. This is where the lines of probability are going, but nothing's set in stone.
But isn't divination supposed to, you know, give you a little bit of foresight into the future? And so therefore, if there's so many possibilities between an open and a closed reading, wouldn't they all be closed or all be open?
Oh, that's a really, really interesting perspective. So what you're saying is any reading is closed or open by the fact that if there are infinite possibilities and you're tapping into one of those possibilities, if a person makes a certain choice, that will happen. But if a person makes another choice, that won't happen. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. It's like if a person is driving down the highway when they get the reading, and they've pulled off to the gas station, you're there giving them a reading, and the card says, you're going to come up on an exit of this, the road ahead looks this way, and you can expect to see this and that and everything else. Then if they choose to stay on that road, that's what they're going to experience. Let's say they got the reading, and then they're driving, and they're the reading is coming true and everything, and all of a sudden they see this sign for, let's say, huge dinosaur park out in the middle of the desert or something like that, you know, some big attraction, and they decide to detour off to that. Well, that was not in the reading because the time has moved on a little further and choice has been made to divert from the path that they were on when they got the reading. So therefore, that changes everything at that point. Most readings I've had have some kind of a time frame to them.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you have a little detour, that messes with that time frame of the original reading.
Okay.
Your closed reading has now become wide open, and you have no idea what could happen from that point on.
Well, if that's the case, the question begs to be asked, what is the point? I mean, could we just say that divination is really just a bunch of guesswork and it's odds on what you're hitting? The skeptics out there say that a good reader, all they're doing is just kind of figuring out and calculating what the odds are based on reading body language and the kind of person and their profile, what they look like, how they dress, how they talk, all those other things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can totally take it from either the skeptical view or the more spiritual view. Divination is one of those areas in my experience and understanding where whatever you're looking for with divination, you're going to find it. Mm. So if you come in as a skeptic, you're going to totally find tons of reasons why everything happens the way it is. If you come in as a believer, everything is going to happen exactly the way you expect it to happen. When you asked, what is the point then? Everybody likes to have some idea of where they are. Actually, I'm going to go a little bit, move a little bit over. One of the things I found with any kind of psychic readers, tarot readers, or diviners of any kind is there's a human need to be understood. And if the reader presents information that lets the seeker to feel like the reader actually understands them and is actually tapped into what's going on with them, whether they are or not, whether they're some scam artist or actually a true divination psychic person going on and tapping into that person's life, they're going to put a lot more faith and a lot more stock into that reading. Whereas a skeptic, you know, they will sit there and go, well, you could have gotten that from this. Well, you could have gotten that piece of information from this. You could have gotten that from there. And they'll put no stock into it. Mm-hmm. Whatever the reading comes up with, it's the amount of, you know, stock that you want to put into it is what you'll get out of it.
Right. And, you know, there is a belief in some circles that the seeker is actually, kind of you alluded to this, the seeker is actually creating the reading and the seeker is actually creating the outcome of the reading. There's an idea about what would be considered morally or just responsible reading and ethically mm-hmm. responsible readings. One of the questions is, are you going to give a reading and suggest something, and through the power of suggestion and the power of belief of the seeker, that the seeker will actually make it happen just by having heard it?
Mm-hmm. That's why they call them readers, not creators. You're not creating the life or making choices for the person, although you can if your ethics are a little off. Mm-hmm. You're reading what you see for them at the time. And most people that I've gone to have readings for, and when I used to do readings myself, you know, I'd be like, I'm going to tell you what I see, and that's just the way it's going to happen. I always prefaced everything saying, this reading, whatever comes up, is going to be for just right this minute, right this time.
Right.
It can change at any given time from any choice that you make. If you don't like it, you can change it. It's not set in stone. It's just for this moment, right now, right here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, what you're talking about is, and, you know, through our podcast, you're going to hear me talk about this time and time again when I talk about probabilities and timelines and things like that. I'm mm-hmm. into that stuff. I could do a podcast on that every single week, but it'd drive everybody else crazy. Can you take an alternate timeline and do something different, David? That's what they would say if it was a...
Hey, I like alternate timelines too. We'll definitely get to that.
Oh, we'll get to it. And we will promise not to get stuck on it.
Yeah.
When I believe that when there's a reading being given, what happens is the person is tapping into probabilities. That's what they're doing. They're tapping into a timeline. And I think they tap into the richest one. Let's use this for example. Let's say there's a possibility you're going to get in an accident. Mm-hmm. And probabilities, there's a lot of probabilities pointing to you getting in a car accident.
Okay.
There are some things that'll affect it and some that won't. Whether you tie your shoelace, may or may not. If you have a cookie versus if you have an English muffin for breakfast, maybe that won't affect it, you know. But let me see how I can put this. If the probability is really high of it happening, mm-hmm. a lot of choices you make are going to be inconsequential. Because there's already a lot of things that have happened that have set it in motion.
Mm-hmm.
And so a reader will probably tap into that. That doesn't mean that it's going to come to pass without any doubt. Let me use the example of 9/11. There are a lot of people, a huge number of people, that had some kind of precognition of some event happening in relation to 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
Did that mean that it was definitely going to happen? It meant that there were so many things that were already in motion that were pointing that way, and the odds of it happening were very high, and there were a huge number of people affected by this, that it kind of got sent into the ether, the airwaves, the, you know, lines of probability, and people picked up on it.
So it's kind of like if you're at a ski resort and you're facing the mountain and the seeker is facing you and you're doing a reading for them and you see this huge avalanche coming down towards the cabin and everything, you're like, I have a feeling we should get up and go, and this place is going to encounter some very big difficulties very soon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
You know, tapping into that whole, the momentum of what has already been placed in motion.
Mm-hmm.
If that is what comes out from a typical divination reading, then how is that different from astrology reading or an astrology chart, where the astrology chart says there's a high probability that you will encounter some financial difficulty at this point? Do we then consider astrology a form of divination as opposed to, you know, more of a science? And do we go the skeptical route, or do we stay on the believer route?
I think it depends on application of it.
Hmm.
Let's say this about divination. Let's talk about these divination. There are people that I've talked to that said, you know what, I went to this psychic, and they told me this, 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 and this, and they nailed it. They told me things that were going to happen that they happened, you know? And my question is, all right, if you're of the mind that if somebody says it's going to happen because they picked up on something that was going to happen, what do you do with that information?
Mm-hmm.
Like using the car accident. If somebody says you're going to get in a car accident and it's destined to happen, you could go do everything in your power to avoid it and it happens anyway. Well, if you can't avoid it with getting that information, then what's the point of getting the information?
Well, also another thing that happens with psychology in a reading is the seeker, just by calling it that name, the seeker is there to see what you can tell them. You know, they're in a more submissive state of mind to and be more open to what you're telling them. If you're in a more open state of mind to suggestions by people, it's a lot easier for you to say, hey, I respect this person because they do something that I don't do, or I don't have the information or interest in, or whatever like that. Mm-hmm. But if they say it, then there has to be a reason why they said it, right? It comes back to the whole thing of a question of giving away your power. You know, do you give your power away to a reader? When I was doing readings, you know, on a weekly basis years and years ago, I remember this one gentleman came in one night, and I just worked for tips, but he came in one night and we had this really, really intense reading. It was one of those that was at such a level where it was literally draining to give the reading. I did not see him for a long time, and I think it was about 5 or 6 months later, he came back and he's like, oh man, it's so good to run into you again. You know, everything you said in that reading came true, exactly the way you said it would come true. And I'm like, wait a second. No. There was some really not so fun stuff in there. And I remember asking him, did you want to have that happen, or did you try and change anything? It's like, no. You said it. That's just the way it's going to be. So I'm like, he must have missed the part about, you know, nothing is set in stone and you can change it if you want to.
Right.
This made me much more sensitive to the mental state of people who come for a reading.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have to realize that anything you say could be a form of suggestion, and if it's not already quote unquote in their cards, you can make it be in their cards.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the things that I'm always very careful with now, is to not let people give their power away to a reading by me or anybody else.
Yes, that's very important. You know, and the thing is I think there's a definite line between a seeker who is going for a reading for entertainment purposes and a seeker who is going for actual guidance and help,
mm-hmm.
because they're really kind of unsure. If they're going for entertainment, the value they're going to find is in how well the person nailed them, or how well the person, you know, predicted their future.
Mm-hmm.
Where on the other side, you've got the people who are saying, how helpful was that reading?
Oh, yeah.
I do a number of readings, and my main actually my primary is either tarot or oracle cards. Mm-hmm. And when I give a reading, I don't focus on, you know, oh well, you're going to have 4 babies this year and, you know, any of that stuff. It's not, you know, it's like, okay, what do I do with that information? Do I get another job where I can afford to have 4 babies? But mine's more so, you know, okay, this is what I see going on in your life. These are the energies. I mean, mine always focus on energies. Mm-hmm. This is kind of where you are in your state of mind, and this is what's the influence in your world. Now, be aware that if you make this choice, this is the way it can go. If you make this other choice, this is the way it can go. So it's always usually about, okay, where are you right now? Where do you want to be right now? What's influencing that? What are your obstacles to that? And how can you empower yourself to get around that? You know, it's almost more psychology, but I think it's almost like psychology in a way, but there's a little bit more to it. I think when you tap into energies, you can take away some of the, forgive any psychologists out there, but you know, the all the lexicons and terminology that, you know, in school study, it's more from intuition. Mm-hmm.
So basically what you're saying, if I'm understanding you correctly, is that when you give a reading, you basically are able to tap into a variety of alternate realities that the person's path is able to go on at that given time.
I think there's a sense of yes to that, but I don't really tap into timelines, alternate realities. I tap more into the energies that the person themselves can't see. I consider my real readings more like a veil lifting. Okay. I lift veils for people. You know, what they are not able to see, I help them to see it. And it's always in a term. And going back to the beginning of the podcast, remember you were talking about your friend and the other guy on the radio show?
Yes.
And how their readings were very different?
Mm-hmm.
I think a seeker can be attracted to a reader, however way you want to think of the attraction, or drawn to a certain person, because that person can put something in a certain way that resonates with that seeker.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it is for me. I just kind of have a way of using analogies and things like that that I think resonate with certain people, which wouldn't with other people. And either they'll come to me and say, you suck, or they just won't come to me. It just, you know, because the energy didn't really lead them to me, you know.
Yeah, well, in any kind of, you know, occupation or any kind of experience where there's two people taking part in an activity, there is some kind of relationship. Everybody doesn't like everybody else. There's people that you vibe with right off the bat, and there's other people that you don't. And I think that's what you're talking about, where some people will go to one reader over and over and over again because they relate very well and they feel very comfortable with that person. And they may occasionally go to another reader and it just doesn't feel right. Something's off. They're not comfortable. They're not able to be open. The reader really didn't tap into them very well. You know, people get stuck into that whole, I trust this person. They've shown me in the past that they're really good at tapping into me. And I'm not saying this is a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
My tone when I presented that may have sounded a little derogatory, but it's like if you go to a medical doctor and you're your primary care doctor, and if you're not comfortable with them right off the bat, you know, if they don't give you a sense of, hey, I'm here to help you, let's work on your stuff and get it together, then it's probably not the doctor for you. In much the same way that if you go to a reader and you sit down, and we're not talking about just the nervousness or adrenaline or anything like that. We're talking about something feels really off or something feels really negative.
Mm-hmm.
It is totally acceptable, in my opinion, to say, I thought this was going to be a good experience, but I'm just getting a really bad feeling. I apologize, but I'm going to just have to quit right here. Here's your charge for the reading. I know you didn't get a full one, but it's only fair. I just don't feel like I should have this reading right here, right now.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. No, what you're saying makes sense, and it did not sound derogatory in any way. It's just like any relationship. I mean, like you said, you click with some people, you don't with others, and there is an energy that is created between two people. And that energy sometimes just doesn't resonate. What was interesting is when you said, when you made a reference to somebody going to a particular reader on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. Because I see this, because there's a forum I'm part of that where readings are offered. The rule of the forum is that 30 days from when you have a reading, you got to lay low. You got to let it sink in and soak and deal with it. Mm-hmm. Then when 30 days is up, you can ask for another reading.
Oh.
But there are people that day 30 hits, it's like they set a little clock, you know, to remind them it's time to get another reading. And they solicit a reading month after month after month after month after month. And a lot of times it's the same issues.
Mm-hmm.
They're asking the same questions about the same issues that they have. At that point, how reliant are they on the readings? How reliant are they on, you know, not really kind of absorbing the information they're given and empowering themselves?
But this goes back to what I was saying earlier with giving your power away. If you find a lot of entertainment value or a lot of excitement in any way, shape, or form from receiving a reading, then one way to prove the reader that you're getting and the reading that you're getting is accurate is if it always says the same thing, which means you're always having the same issues, which means you're not taking care of your stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
But psychologically, in a very oversimplified way, you know, you're able to say, see, I've been having readings for the past 3 years, and this reader did it, caught onto this thing, and this reader caught onto that thing, and this reader tapped into that thing, and probably about 90% of them have been able to tap into me, and, you know, I'm just easily read. I'm like, no, you're just dealing with the same stuff over and over again.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and if that goes on the whole thing with actually getting into a reading from a reader's perspective and a seeker's perspective. What do you do if you do have readings on a regular basis, you know, every month or a few times a year or whatever, and the same things keep coming up and keep coming up and keep coming up? The responsibility of the reader is just to present that information to you. As a seeker, do you continue to let yourself work on that, or do you try to get more clarification or figure out why is this always coming up? One issue has been coming up for like the past, let's say a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it becomes your choice at that point. And if you're not giving your power away and going just for the adrenaline rush or the excitement rush of, oh, I'm getting a reading, let's see what it says.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can actually take the information that you get from a reading, regardless of who the reader is, and there'll be something in there that you will be able to take away from it. And that I've actually sat through a couple readings from people that I just felt were off. I mean, I just, like what I was talking about earlier, where you just don't feel comfortable in the reading almost from the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
I've actually sat through a few of those. What I have found from my perspective is 90% of the reading would just be, oh, it might be accurate or to some degree, or it might be completely off, but there'd always be that one little shining kernel of information that was just absolutely perfect for that one time.
Mm-hmm.
That I would walk away from the reading saying, that is why I had that reading, because that one little piece of information was highly important to me right at this time.
Mm-hmm.
I have to go back to what I said earlier. As a general rule, if you don't feel comfortable in a reading at any given time, you can get up. I'm just a masochist, apparently, for, you know, divinatory readings.
Give me a bad reading, make it hurt.
Yeah. How bad can it go? Where's the whips and chains? Oh, wait, that's a different kind of reading.
Yeah. The safe word for your reading is avocado.
That's too long. I need a shorter syllables.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, you know, it's interesting what you said about you find that one kernel in a reading. I know what you're talking about. I've had those kind of readings too on both sides. And as a reader and as having had readings, I do more readings than actually receive.
Mm-hmm.
When I give readings, my best readings make no sense to me, especially with a tarot deck. I'll be mm-hmm. go through a tarot deck and I'll just say, okay, well, I see this. It has something to do with this and this and this. And I'll go, I don't know what the hell that means. What is that? But the person sitting across from me is like, yeah, yep, that makes complete sense to me. I know exactly what you're talking about. And that, you know, a lot of times if I have an opportunity, I'll put all the cards away and then it's an open discussion. That way I don't feel like I'm getting influenced by anything. Because I kind of like readings for people to just really don't give me too much. Because mm-hmm. then I don't want to work with that. I just want to let the information just come. But the things that don't make sense to me, then I feel like I'm really more tapping into an energy on the other side. Mm-hmm. That's out there, that's in the ether or whatever they're projecting. Because symbols are so rich and so strong. And I think any divination, all divination methods, in my opinion, work on symbolisms and the reader's interpretation of those symbolisms. Because, you know, we all have our own personal symbolic dictionary. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of what makes a reading interesting or not. I mean, you could have, like, remember when you said having a reading at the exact moment is only applicable for that moment?
Mm-hmm.
And for the circumstances that may come ahead, have a reading 5 minutes later, and then you're going to get a completely different reading.
Or it might be going on to a different issue or something like that.
Right, or going on to a different issue. So it's the things that are kind of thickest in the air that kind of resonate, you know. Doing a reading and somebody's really kind of dealing with trying to find a job. They're really trying to find a job. And they're kind of held up because they're dealing with, you know, kids and income and stuff like that. If you have a reading and you say something like, well, you know, right now you're kind of dealing with a loose wheel and you can't, and the wheel's really keeping you from propelling forward. And they say, you know what? I just had a problem with my car and I have to replace the axle on it and I can't afford to do so mm-hmm. because I don't have a job. You know, it's kind of interesting how those little symbols kind of bring themselves out and resonate, you know, and I find those are the most interesting.
Oh, yeah, I agree with you totally. As a reader, there are people that you're able to tap into and that the information comes through very clearly. Like what you're saying, I've heard that time and time again from people that have done readings for decades to people that have done readings for the past 6 months, where they will say, I was told that whatever comes up, just present it, even if it doesn't make sense to me. And I've had readings where I've said, why am I thinking of a boat in the middle of a lake with a huge pole or something going down to the very bottom? And the person that I was reading for would say, oh, yeah, we went fishing and we lost one of our really good poles. And me and my friend were trying to dig it out. And it'd be like, oh, there's the lake, there's the boat, there's the whatever pole. My image may have been this huge cylinder going down to the bottom of the lake, but mm-hmm. at the same time, I used the word pole. They, you know, referenced it to, oh, that was us out fishing pole. It all worked. I will have to admit, though, there was one reading that I gave years and years and years ago that still floors me to this day.
Really?
Yes, because this reading was not, hey, this is where you're going. This is kind of, you know, what I'm seeing at the moment. I could have sworn that this person literally was opening up a book and flashing the information to me page by page as I was reading the cards.
Wow.
And I had actually met this, person, I believe, you know, maybe 5 to 10 minutes before we actually started the reading.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I got to tell you a couple of things that came up in this reading. It was a younger woman, I would say probably early 20s, somewhere around there. And the cards came out, and as a reader, for me, when I do a tarot reading, the moment the cards are all laid out, you kind of glance over everything and get an overall feel for it. For the cards that came up with this reading, they were all over the place. There was no kind of pattern. It was just blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
And
when that's a technical term.
Yeah, blah, 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 blah. Look it up in the dictionary. It's there. Trust me. If you play Scrabble, you can use it.
Yeah.
So, but there was absolutely no kind of pattern whatsoever. When I do a reading, I actually look at the card, and regardless of what imagery is on there, I wait for a word or a thought or an image to pop into my head.
Mm-hmm.
With this person, the reason why this reading was so weird is we started off, and the first card or two started off kind of like a normal reading, but it was still kind of weird. From the third card on, it got really weird. I was sitting there, and I was looking at the card, and I'd be looking at, you know, this whole very bright sun with leaves and trees and everything. And all of a sudden, this image of this guy working at a furniture warehouse department store thing, wearing this really awful yellow shirt and ugly tie and being kind of young and being yelled at by his boss, would pop into my head. And I'd be like, whoa, okay, this is interesting. And I would say, this seems to have nothing to do with the card, but what I'm getting is, you know, this young guy working at the furniture warehouse wearing this really ugly yellow shirt and really ugly tie, and he has kind of brown hair and brown eyes, and he looks like he's just having a really bad day, and the boss is yelling at him and everything. And then, as I said boss, all of a sudden another image of the boss would pop into my head, and I'd be like, oh, and the boss is wearing this, and this, and he has a little skin mark or birthmark or something, or a little mole or something on this area right here, and he's just pounding into this guy like there's no tomorrow. And I was just like, I don't know where this is coming from. This is what I have. She turned to me and she said, that's my boyfriend. My dad gave him a job, and my dad owns a furniture store. At that point, I was like, your dad wears ugly brown ties occasionally? No, he wears them all the time. He doesn't have anything but brown ties.
Oh, wow.
And at that point, from that point on in the reading, I was just floored. And I don't know. I think she may have been as floored as I was, but the cards after that were that specific. Like, okay, I don't know what kind. Wait, you don't drive a car. You have a. Oh, wait, your friend has a car like this. Your friend from kindergarten that you haven't seen in 6 months because you just moved here from, where were you? Let me see, Midwest somewhere, and you're only there.
Wow.
And I mean, it was like instant information, and she's just sitting there taking it in. And basically, if I say, does this sound accurate? She's like, yeah, this is that, and this is that. Not giving any more information than just, yes, the information you're bringing up is accurate. Like I said, to this day, that reading is one of those where it was like I was watching the movie of whatever question she asked just totally come in piece by piece, just like flipping on a switch. Now, oh, wow. I have to admit, that is definitely the exception, not the rule. But it was still one of those times where it actually made me realize, oh, you can actually connect to somebody so well, so precise, that you can get information this quickly and in this clearly.
Now, do you believe that it was really the cards, or do you believe the cards were a tool to be able to do what you probably could naturally do, which was to tap into all that information that was in her energy field?
Mm-hmm. Any kind of divination is a tool. I don't read cards anymore because it's very slow and very difficult for me to sit there and, you know, say, okay, this card says this, when I'm sitting there going, look, the cards don't mean anything. Let me tell you what you really want to hear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I've gotten to that point, you know, where I can actually do that. For the years that I've worked in psychic energy, and the past 15 or so years that I've been an energy healer, I have gotten to a point where my intuition kicks in so quickly and so strongly from doing healings and stuff like that, that if somebody wants a reading, cards just slow everything down.
Right.
The problem I run into is, like what you were saying earlier, there are people that come for a reading for the entertainment value, mm-hmm. and then there are people that come for, you know, the guidance value. The people that come for the entertainment value, they want you to have cards. They want you to lay them out. They want to see all the pretty pictures. They want you to be like, ooh, look at me, I'm reading your cards. The people that come for guidance, depending on where they are in their level of understanding, they will either want you to put out the cards, or if you connect with them in any other way or somehow, they want you to say, okay, give me your hand and I will read your aura. You know, give me a piece, give me a necklace or a personal item that you have in your pocket and I will read, you know, your information. Where for me, I can sit there and go, just keep talking. I get information from when people talk, their voices. Stuff comes up from that all the time. And a lot of times they'll say, well, what do I say? Well, start telling me about your job. Mm-hmm. I don't know. We'll go from there. And normally they'll start off and they'll be like, well, my job sucks because I work at, and as soon as they say work at, I'll be like, ah, you work in this area. You have this, and all of a sudden the information clicks in there because that's where it comes up to in their energy. It's coming to the forefront. Mm-hmm. And so that's one of the areas that I have difficulty with, is because the general public seekers want to have the flash and the dazzle and the cards and everything. And for me, it's very hard to sit there and slow myself down that far and be like, okay, this is the third card that we're going on, and I've already come into this information when you sat down. Okay, and it's just going very slow.
But to get to that point, I mean, a combination of the healing practice along with the years of using the tarot, mm-hmm. do you think that actually helped you develop your divinatory, I don't know what the word is for the...
That's correct.
Present perfect or whatever. Abilities.
I would not say that that was the only tool that helped develop the intuition. There are a lot of things I've been doing for a long time, such as, you know, working with, you know, playing cards, working with psychometry. Well, like with a deck of playing cards, one of the things I would do all the time is I would shuffle them, not look at them, and then I'd pull one card off the top, set it down, and look at it from the back, trying to feel what the card on the front was. Did I feel a red card? Did I feel a black card? Was it a number card? Or was it a king, queen, or jack card? I did that probably a lot more and from a lot earlier age than before I got into tarot and those types of divinatory areas. Mm-hmm. So to answer your question, getting into tarot was kind of basically a different flavor mm-hmm. as opposed to, instead of using playing cards, I was using tarot cards, and it was just like, oh, this is kind of new. This is kind of different. And then moved on from that to where, when I started doing energy healing, that is very unusual for a healer to be, okay, you have a block in your third chakra. Hold on, let me get my deck, my tarot cards, and pull them out. And like, okay, your third chakra has to do, and like, it has to do with this, and it has to do with that. And it's like, I guess you could do it that way, but most people, when they come for an energy healing, they're not expecting a tarot reading.
Right, exactly. But at the same time, like what you were doing, the practice that you did with the cards, mm-hmm. you know, looking at the back and kind of sensing the color. And, you know, what you were doing with the playing card, you could study the tarot deck for years upon years. And then you sit down and do a reading with someone and it may not even yield you much. Oh, yeah. To me, it seems that the exercises that you do throughout each of those, through healing, through energy healing, through tarot, through divination, through the yarrow sticks or the runes, any of those methods you use, the I Ching. Mm-hmm. Really, it's not even about the methodology. It's about is it's a tool, because I always use this. I don't know if I've used this before in our podcast. I always think of a tool as a way of loosening a bolt. Mm-hmm. You take a wrench so that you can get that bolt loose, and then you can take the rest of it off by hand. Mm-hmm. And the idea of these tools to me is to be a confirmation for you. Mm-hmm. Intuition is such a fleeting thing. Intuition always starts out with people saying, I thought that was my imagination. Am I making it up? Am I guessing? And so when you can get confirmation by doing that so that you know it's more than just your imagination or guesswork or any of that, trusting your intuition is what it's all about.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, when you're first doing energy healing, I mean, when you first said, okay, you know, something's going on in your hip when you're doing something for somebody, and they went, yeah, something's going on in your hip, and you went, wait a minute, really? I was right about that? And just each time you get a confirmation, then when you get that piece of information, you're not going to throw it away, because I think that's what happens a lot of times, especially with an intuition in daily life. Mm-hmm. We have premonitions, and, you know, we just chuck them.
Oh, yeah.
Because we don't think that they really matter. And then when they come to fruition, you're just like, oh, or you've just filtered it out because they're little tiny things and you didn't think of as any importance. Or you just said, I was a lucky guess, you know.
And that's why we go to readers that do any kind of divination of any sort, so that they can remind us all the little things that we brushed aside and said, oh, that's not important. We'll do this. Yeah, I've been thinking about that for the past 5 weeks, but I'm sure it has nothing to do with anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
I am curious, though. We've been talking a lot from a reader's perspective. I mean, you and I have both been on the other side, been a seeker, and received divinatory readings from, you know, a reader. What have been some of your experiences being on the other side of the table?
Well, you know, interestingly enough, the majority of my readings have been stuff about my life. You know, you're going to work in a field that does this, or, you know, do you have a son? Well, you're going to have a son. That, you know, that kind of stuff. That's been the majority of the readings I've gotten, and they've not left me with much impact. And I don't really know why. I mean, I've had a couple, most of the readings I've had have been less than memorable, but I think because I never really felt like there was any good application with them, you know. Even if I got this, the wows of things, you know, I was like, what do I do with this information? You know, it's like I felt like I should sit down and say, this is for entertainment purposes only. Every reading felt like that. And that's actually what kind of got me started in learning to do readings and divination, stuff like that. But then again, you know, once you scrape away all that other stuff and you kind of go to your intuition and kind of listen to your heart, you can kind of push all that stuff aside. And I think that's when I became less eager to try to find a reading that really kind of resonated with me, because I knew that I was just getting information that was constantly coming to me through my own senses anyway. Mm-hmm. It's just it was just a matter of me opening my eyes and looking.
Oh.
So, you know, that's kind of been my take on readings. I've actually had some interesting readings. Like, for example, I had a palm reading done by a very, very good palm reader. She's very good.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very good. But what all she did was she just affirmed that my palm told her information about me that she didn't already know.
Mm-hmm.
I said, wow, so my palm is another way of, you know, reading my police record. I don't have a police record, but I'm just, you know what I mean?
It's like, Akashic
or
record.
Reading my psychiatrist notes, you know. It was, to me, it was the same idea. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, my Akashic records? Is that what you said?
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah, there you go. It's like she went through the Akashic index file. She's like, A, B, C, D, 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 D. Okay, David, see, it says that here that you tend to have a tendency. Yeah.
Your rap sheet is very long.
It's my palm rap sheet. That's what it was.
Your hands are red with guilt.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to just stop there.
So, yeah. So that's kind of like, I guess that's been my take. I mean, what has been your take being on that side, on the seeker side?
For me, it has to be with what type of divination, what flavor I'm getting. If it's cards or something, or runes or anything like that, that I've actually worked with in the past, and I actually have a lot of experience with being a reader, then it really doesn't do a whole lot for me. I'm like, yep, yep, gotcha, yep. Uh-huh, that's right. Now, if it's something a little more interesting that I don't have a lot of information, like you mentioned palmistry, I had my palms read by a good friend that I had met almost a year ago, and she read my palm, I think, probably around October, December of last year. She was able to go in and say things. I'm like, yeah, that's kind of interesting. Like, one of the things she said was, oh, you have the writer's hand. And I'm like, I've never heard that before in any reading or anything I've ever looked in. What does that mean? And she basically said, it means you're probably really good at writing. Oh, not a writer like riding a horse, but writer like riding a piece of paper.
Right, yeah.
It's like, oh, okay. And in the past, probably about 12 years before, I went to a professional palm reader. The lady that read my palms a few months ago, she was just a really good friend, and this is one of the areas where she's developing her expertise. The palmist that I went to years ago had been doing it for probably decades, and she could do it in her sleep. Mm-hmm. And when I walked in, it was interesting because it was at her place of residence, and I think she had a young son, something under 10 but older than 5. I walked in and the cartoons with the TV on were just really, really loud, and the phone would ring and she'd be looking at your hand, answering the phone. I'm just like, okay, this is kind of interesting. But on the same token, she'd be like, oh, you have difficulty holding on to money. It comes and it goes really quickly. Okay. And you really like to do that. And like, yeah, that's wow. Yeah, exactly. Spot on. What we were talking about earlier, sure, she could have picked up, oh, okay, I'm in my early 20s, early to mid-20s. Most guys, their early to mid-20s, have a lot of money come in and just as quickly go out.
Right, yeah.
I mean, she could have said a lot of this kind of stuff just from my age, obviously, and if I wanted to go from the skeptical point of view, I could totally go there. My overall feeling is it was a reasonable reading. It wasn't amazingly awesome. It wasn't terrible. She didn't overcharge. It was like a $20 late night for a reading in the late 90s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, reasonable price, if not even on the low side. Now, you take that to another reading that I had where in the same town where they charged $50. The lady put out the cards, and I think she got through the first, maybe the first and the second card out of like 10. And then she started talking about how, oh, your mother has health issues and she's not doing really well. And if you let my congregation or pray for her, she'll get better and everything. And it's only $600. And I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
I have just hit a scam artist big time.
Yeah. And, you know, I think it's important to talk about that for listeners out there who do look for readings. And, you know, like I say, it's great to look for a reading. It's great to have a reading. But there are a lot of flares that people need to be aware of these scam artists. There's things like the dark energy thing. Have you heard that one?
Refresh my memory.
Oh, you know, you seem to have a dark energy or there's a dark spirit around you and you're going to have it removed.
Oh, or you have some kind of negative entity, a demon attached to you. Or
right.
You're under a curse or something like that.
Yeah. I read an article about some lady. I can't remember where those. I want to say it was locally, actually, here in Tacoma, that said that was telling people that their money was cursed and that they needed to have it cleansed. And she was making tens of thousands of dollars off of people.
Wow.
Yeah, it was crazy. And because these people, like you were talking about earlier, these people are desperate and they're looking for anything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing about it is a lot of people that go for readings really do want answers and they want help and they want to be able to see things, be given a perspective that they themselves can't find because they're in the thick of it.
Yeah.
And I think a really, really good reading will help you to see that, to really help unveil that. And will, you know, is not asking for anything more than that. I had a reading probably about a year ago. Like I said, I don't get them often, but every now and then I get an itch. And I got an itch and, you know, I was just kind of looking at opening up my intuition and things like that. And the reader said to me, you know, for you, the issue that you're having is that you're not really examining where your intuitive is, because what you think is that where you're highly intuitive, you think that's just natural for everybody. So you don't see it as anything significant.
Mm-hmm.
But she told me that, and that helped for me to see it in that perspective. Because, you know, of course, I think wherever my gifts or abilities or, you know, tendencies, whatever you want to call them, lie, that I think, well, yeah, that's no big deal. Who can't do that?
Yeah.
But she had to point it out for me to see where that uniqueness was for me, you know. And I think a good reader will do that. A good reader will help you to see something that you're having trouble seeing. And once you can see it, you can get through it. Like, you know, the whole idea about addicts and alcoholics that the first step is admitting you have an issue.
Yeah.
Because their big issue with them is like, you know, I keep drinking. It's not a big deal, you know. But yes, it is a big deal, buddy. You know. So.
Yeah, you've spent all of our money at the bar and, you know, kids are starving and you're getting drunk.
Exactly. you don't see a problem with that.
Yeah. You open up the fridge. We have 3 different brands of beer, but we only have a thing of ketchup that's almost out and a thing of mustard and maybe a piece of celery.
Mm-hmm. And they're letting the ketchup and mustard ferment in case they run out of beer.
Oh, exactly. So you got to have a backup plan, you know?
Yeah, you got to be prepared. You never know.
When we were doing the amateur nights, you know, I remember I got a reading from you a few months ago, and it was good because I have to admit, the first part of the reading, I was sitting there, I was going, this part I know. This is the path ahead where my headlights from my car can see the road. Mm-hmm. And then you actually went a little bit further, and you were able to bring up some things that went, oh, and then this area could come in a little bit here and like that. I'm like, okay, I will definitely keep a lookout for that. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of interesting, well, a few months ago, is because a lot of things we're talking about from the time frame of maybe late spring to next fall. Mm-hmm. And they all were lining up in the same way. And I was just like, uh-huh, uh-huh. I wasn't really being told anything brand new. Right. I was just being told, getting a little more clarification. Instead of having a blurry picture, it was starting to come into focus just a little bit more.
Right.
And I think that is, in my opinion, a really good way to look at any kind of divinatory reading, is not to throw your life into whatever the reader says, but to look for a little more clarification and then combine that with the information that you already know.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, you could sit there and say, you know, oh, I went to this reader and he told me that I was going to have a new car in 6 months. And he also told me that, you know, my cousin is actually a Green Beret. And I couldn't believe it. And I would say to them, that's great. Now, what are you going to do with that information? Yeah. I don't know. I guess I'll just wait for my new car and call my cousin and say hi. Don't get yourself killed. You know,
road trip.
Yeah, road trip. So, I mean, your point is really good. It's nice to have a fog lifted, kind of some clarity applied. Because really, I think a lot of us really know those things, but a lot of times we just don't want to see them. Mm-hmm. Because seeing them means maybe I have to do something about that. Or
yeah, I have to take responsibility.
There you go. Exactly.
And that just means more work. And who wants to have more work?
Yeah, I know. Heaven forbid, or whatever you want to believe in forbid.
You know what, though? On that note, I personally have found that taking more responsibility, having a little more work in more of a spiritual area, and this is probably going to be a topic in the future, when you actually go through that work, it's not anywhere near as difficult many times as you thought it was going to be before you went through it.
Oh, yeah. You're so right about that.
What you gain from it, from a spiritual perspective, is, in my experience, it's just amazing. You sit there and you look back like, why did I think this would be such a big deal? And, you know, it was relatively easy compared to a lot of other things. And look at what I can do now.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's not nearly as insurmountable as you think it is in the outset.
And that leads on to, in the future, you look at things a little bit differently as, well, that last one looked really big. And it wasn't. And then every so often, you know, like 1 out of 10, you're like, I've been doing a lot of really good things here and there. This one looks just like all the others. Let's just go for it. And it turns out to be one of those that completely shifts your perspective, a whole paradigm shift. And you, quote unquote, are never the same again, as they say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in a beautiful and a brilliant way.
Oh, totally.
Exactly.
And I believe that getting a reading, depending on where you are in your spiritual growth and everything, can help move that along to some degree. But at the same time, you always have to pay a little bit of attention so that you don't totally give your power away to somebody or a reader, because you're just so drawn into the whole mystery of divination to begin with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's an excellent, excellent point. Excellent piece of advice for people getting a reading. Yeah, go into the reading with the goal of, how can I use this information to empower myself?
Yeah, and get a little more clarification on some of the areas in my life where I know something's there. I can see it, I can feel it, but I just don't know exactly what it is. It's a little bit of a shadow. You can get a reading to get a little more clarification on that too as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And I think that on that note, we will end this podcast. I would like to thank everybody for listening to us. My name is Donald.
And I'm David.
And we hope to see you next time on Take the Red Pill.
Thank you, everyone. Have a good week.